Today on the Cooligans, we are previewing the Champions League final between Inter Milan and PSG. Who's going to win? What do we think? How they're going to line up? Coaching battle. We talk about it all.
All right. And on top of that, we talk about every Premier League team and we tell you what either the season they had or what to expect in short phrases. Can we make this actual short phrases or do we yip too much? Find out that. And of course, we got to talk about LA Galaxy and their Sweet 16 coming up and so much more today on the Cooligans.
So, Alexis, have you been watching this Diddy trial?
Have I been watching it? I didn't know this was pay-per-view, bro.
Been hearing about it? I mean,
I've been reading the summaries of the dialogue that people put. And each time I'm like, I don't think this is real.
It's all pretty crazy. And for anyone...
They just introduced a new character. Was it Cardigan? Cartier Carter? Was it
Capricorn.
Capricorn.
The reason, if you are new to the show, yeah. I used to work for Sean John and Diddy for several years. Let's turn that on. And everybody, I get the questions like, yo, did you know anything? Did you get invited to the free call? All that crazy stuff. And I didn't hear about any of this. I didn't know any of this kind of stuff was going on. No one ever even...
That's what I would say on camera, too. I just want everyone to know that.
Okay, look.
Let's just put it out there. If you put lights and cameras and microphones, I did not know anything Christian.
I ain't trying to get subpoenaed. Uh-huh. Right? So,
do you get seasick? You a yacht fan by any chance?
So the crazy thing is that I've been, given, our studios in New York Times Square, I bump into... former employees all the time of Sean John. And I'm like, we have this.
When you're trying to pressure the witnesses.
Okay. I got hired to do a job.
No, my team was there.
But every time I bump into someone new, I have the same exact conversation. I'm like, did you know anything? I didn't know anything.
Who's going to say yes?
No, I mean, I assume so. And then... now, during the trial, there's been several witnesses that I have directly, I fixed their Blackberries, I fixed their computers.
I hope you wash your hands. That's the first thing. The ick. You're like, I don't know why these buttons are sticky. I don't
the
know.
Different like, assistants. I'm like, I know you. I know, and then they're mentioning the years that stuff happened. I'm like, I was working there during these things, and I'm like, it's psychotic.
You know Cowabunga Carter? You know this lady? Did you work with her? What's her name again? Capricorn? What is
Capricorn
it?
Clark.
Clark. I was so close.
Yeah.
You know her?
Remember, I used to tell this story about when I was when they were filming I Want to Work for Diddy on VH1, and I said that I was fixing the Wi-Fi for some people in production. And while I was in the production room, somebody they were filming. So somebody on the show, I don't know who it was, but as they were filming, they were like, this ain't you gotta step up. This is New York. We ain't in Utah, whatever. And while they said that, I was the one of the people in the room said, oh, everybody from Utah just turned off the TVs. That was Capricorn. I was fixing her Wi-Fi, and
my God!
So I've had all these moments. It's not but I've never
had access to the servers. That's all I just want everyone.
Nothing, but you know what? The interesting part is that it sounds like Bad Boy was way more like involved in like the criminality stuff. Right. Sean John was like a regular company run by a bunch of normal old folks.
Mm-hmm. just innocent IT guys.
So all of it is all wild and very,
it must be weird to know.
Sad. I mean, it's unbelievably sad because I'm hearing these people
you
being
probably have the same experience as like the janitor on Epstein's Island. You know what I mean? You're just like, oh man, I saw that guy 6 weeks ago.
But it's like people are saying like, oh, I was, he threatened to kill me and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I would have left the company if I knew I was in any kind of danger.
You'd be mad disrespectful. Like, I don't know, turn it off and turn it back on again. This guy's like, Does he know who I am?
It's just so crazy. So, look, all of it is just very, very sad and disappointing and tragic. And seeing all the details, it's just
it's horrific.
It's so gross. And it's just and then now
to think I grew up a fan of this guy and now to see what it was actually.
And then the connection to the people that I worked with and seeing all the stuff that they went through is just so saddening and really, really bad. And
it's gotta be frustrating. It's also gotta be otherworldly to see these names pop up.
Yeah,
that you know.
It's yeah. Wild. They're like they're still my Facebook friends.
Yeah,
and it's like now they're on.
Damn,
it's crazy.
Get them on the show.
Okay, Alexis, it's all about content with this guy.
Get him on the show.
Welcome to the Cooligans, where we will not be talking about.
If you don't listen to our audio podcast, I would suggest hitting the download button because you want to hear the intro.
It was a really good intro. Yes. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We're a hot show today because we got a big Champions League preview. We got some
Champions League finals finally here.
Exactly. We got some Premier League, just a little wrap-up bow on the season. And then we got to talk about some Major League Soccer stuff going on. But we have to start today with your Champions League preview because we got to plug something exciting this Saturday.
Well, the Champions League finals coming on Saturday. That's why it's our top topic, right?
So
you know we got to talk about it. We got to give you guys a little insight as to what's going to happen. And you and I both know because we brought crystal balls with us to work today.
Okay, yeah, they're not on camera, but trust me that they are here. Yeah. But we're gonna preview the Champions League final. But the Champions League final this Saturday after the game. Live, you can tune in to our YouTube channel and get a live match reaction with the Cooligans.
Sadly, immediately after the whistle, the final whistle, Christian going to be in here. I'm going to be eating dry steak at a wedding, unfortunately.
I hope the food is better.
No,
than
it probably will be good.
Yes, but Alexis has to go to a wedding. But yeah.
I'm involved in the wedding or else I would have bailed on it for this.
100%. I love the dedication.
Is there nothing better than saying no to a wedding invitation?
I don't care about your love.
No. Also, you're gonna do it whether I'm not there or not. I'm not the priest. You know what I mean? You don't need me there. Take a gift and go on.
Exactly. So Stefano Fasaro, who has co-hosted with me in the past, you've seen him on CBS. You've seen him on Morning Footy on the CBS Scoreline.
He's the best.
He's gonna be joining me for that live
reaction. Latinos only, bro.
Exactly. So tune into that. So after the Champions League final, the final whistle, come to our YouTube channel and lock in. So we're going to have a live match reaction right after the game. All right. So let's preview the final. Inter Milan against PSG. Where to begin first? Okay. As far as lineups, what are we expecting? How both teams are going to shape up?
Well, for Inter, it's looking like Lautaro Martinez is going to be healthy, right? The muscle injury he had, I don't know if they were just leaving him out of the games, but the muscle injury seems to be cleared up. So he's going to play. I think he's going to be super essential for Inter. I think for PSG, it's pretty standard, right? You've got the similar back line. I don't see any names, right? You got Kvaratskhelia, Dembele, and Doué up top. Maybe Barcola gets a run out at some point in the game as well.
Sure.
I mean, it's going to be, I think as far as lineups are concerned, I don't think there's any major surprises.
Yeah, same thing with Inter. Obviously, Jan Sommer, Bastoni, Acerbi, Bisek, Dumfries, DeMarco. Why am I forgetting how to pronounce
it? Calhanoglu?
Calhanoglu? I think that's how.
That is how you pronounce
that's
it.
That's how it's spelled as well, right?
Because the C has a little, there's a little appendage on the C somewhere. I don't know if it's the top
so
or
no,
the bottom.
So no big surprise. We don't expect any big surprises here, but let's talk about who wins this game, at least based on tactically. Two good managers.
This is important, right? Because you've got Inzaghi, who's like very futuristic as far as his tactics are. I think a lot of teams are going to be playing like Inzaghi's Inter in the next 2 to 3 years because he loves to mix it up. Positions are not important. Being able to handle your position on the pitch is important for these players. So oftentimes, I've brought it up on the show before, but you'll see two center backs passing to each other in the opposing box while central midfielders are acting as the center backs. Sure. This is the
Inzaghi's flipping through the Kama Sutra like, bro, I'll pick whatever position whatever position shows up, that's what we're doing.
Unless your toes is spread, you ain't having fun. I think that's what
not everybody's capable capable. Not everybody has that quality.
You got to stretch, folks. But this is like the old school way of like, you're a center back and you're a midfielder. And these are the places you run back and forth. The way old video games were, like center back can't run forward. You know, you stay in your position. All that's done as far as Inzaghi's concerned. And then you got Luis Enrique, which molds his team based on the team they're playing. He will adjust to get an advantage over the team they're playing. He is that much of a... They're both masterful tacticians. They're both masterminds. They're both playing chess at a very high level. It's so much so that I couldn't tell you who has an advantage tactics-wise. I think maybe PSG walk into this a little bit more because you're not really 100% sure exactly how they're going to... I mean, you know how they're going to set up, but you don't know who's going to hurt you. Where when it comes to Inter, you kind of understand, like, this is going to be bedlam, but for the most part, if you can get Lautaro Martinez or Thuram in space, you're in trouble. Or they could score, like, a magical goal off a corner.
Yeah, based on the lineups, you would think, like, the PSG... Luis Enrique has the quality on his side.
You think he has a talent advantage?
I do think so. I agree. But there's just something about Inter Milan this Champions League season that is the belief, the faith that they have in themselves, and I would give that to PSG as well. But Inter have always managed to figure out the even if they are up against a more dominant opponent like Barca, they just find a way. Yeah. And that my slight feeling is that they're just going to find a way again.
I don't disagree. I was at the Champions League final in Istanbul 2 years ago or two seasons ago when Manchester City won. And those first 45 minutes.
It was 1-0, right?
I believe it was Ruben Diaz who scored. Right? Ruben Diaz scored, or was it
Rodri?
Maybe it was Rodri who scored. Yeah. But the long goal, and of course Lukaku stands in the way of Lautaro's shot. But what I remember is those first 45, it was Inter's game. Manchester City couldn't really get their offense going because Inter are so smart defensively. They're really smart about the spaces they step into. And every player on their back line essentially can function as a center back. It's pretty impressive what they're able to do. So I guess I kind of see where you're coming from. But at the same time, man, PSG wasn't even supposed to be here, bro.
they weren't, but...
The league phase was terrible for them. It took them really a while to kind of get going. They're playing on house money, and they've looked good throughout. I've said, even before they played against Arsenal, my favorite team and the team that I support, I said, PSG's winning this whole thing, so I'm going to have to stand on that business and say, I think Luis Enrique kind of figures it out. As much as I love Inzaghi, and I said they might win the double this year, and they've lost the Serie A in the final weeks, and now it's looking, as far as I'm concerned, like they may not win Champions
League. It is and the one point I would make about the league phase of the Champions League to the knockout is Kvyat Kvaratskhelia joining the team in that
sure
that made a huge difference.
But they also played really poorly before and then started kind of correcting themselves, and then once they brought in Kvaratskhelia
So that made a huge difference. So who needs...
They still qualified, though. They needed to win, what was it, 3 out of their last 4, something crazy like that?
Yeah, yeah.
They still qualified.
Yeah.
And I think they beat City in the league phase. Am I wrong about that? Yeah, they beat City. They were doing business, bro.
Okay.
That's before Kvaratskhelia, because I think Kvaratskhelia came in
City
right
were
at the beginning.
Also in the mud as well.
Hey, but still, though. I mean, it's still City, and you played poorly. I think they lost to RB Leipzig or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Who needs to show up? Let's go there. As far as, who is going to win the Champions League final?
So this is, if blank does blank, then why don't we go with Inter Milan first?
Okay.
So if blank does blank, Inter Milan wins.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
If Jan Sommer can stand on his head, if he has another game the way he did against Barcelona and stopping those unbelievable Lamine Yamal shots. Not even just like incredible shots. They were guaranteed goals.
100%. And out of nowhere, a guy wearing a cape flies by.
It was as good as scoring a goal for your own team. That's how big these stops were. So if Jan Sommer can do that again, if he has one more spectacular game, I think Inter Milan win this.
Who has a higher likelihood of having a good game, him or Donnarumma?
Has a higher likelihood? I'm going to say... So it's hard to... Jan Sommer is gonna, in my opinion, going to face tougher shots. Mm-hmm. So if he has a better game, then they win. Donnarumma.
Oh, no, I'm not counting against what you're saying. I'm asking, who do you think out of the two? Because to me, Donnarumma has moments where he can kind of disappear, but this season he's been stellar. And Jan Sommer plays above his pay grade more often. So it's almost like who actually shows up? Is like super Jan Sommer, or is it like as good as we know Donnarumma can be?
Yeah, so I mean, look, if he does have a huge game, if Jan Sommer has a good game like that, then that demoralizes PSG just the way it demoralized Barcelona. So that's where I think it can have an effect. All right,
I'm gonna say for me, when it comes to Inter Milan, if Dumfries is getting forward, Inter Milan's gonna win because Dumfries unlocks so much. He's that extra runner. He's the guy you can't account for. Oftentimes, you'll see him barreling down. I'm not comparing him in any way, shape, or form, so nobody clip this way. But what I'm simply saying is, remember how Frank Lampard back in the day would suddenly appear in the box, and he'd be unmarked, and he'd offer a good header or another or a pass or something in a sense to open up goals and score goals or open up space for other players to score goals. Dumfries can do the same thing if he's getting forward. And to me, if he's getting forward, that means tactically he's not worried about runners. And PSG got some runners, man. Yeah. They've got some ballers that if you pass the ball to in space, they could beat you on the dribble or they could get past you. They're dangerous across the front. So if Dumfries isn't held back and isn't super, super busy back there, bro, then that means, like, teachers used to say, like, if Alexis isn't busy, he's going to talk, you know what I mean? Sure. And frustrate everyone around him or make everyone around him laugh. I think it's the same thing with Dumfries.
Not much has changed.
I think same thing when it comes to Dumfries. If he's getting forward, that means that Inter Milan's tactics have worked.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, he scored a few goals
second highest scorer, if I'm not mistaken, highest scorer.
And he's one of the few people in Europe that I would trust to get forward and then be able to get back if necessary.
And the other team too, Hakimi.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of responsibility on his part, but I think he's definitely capable. So for me,
for PSG, if blank does blank, then PSG wins.
I think if Kvaratskhelia has a game where he is dribbling at players, he is attacking. If Inter are in situations where Kvaratskhelia has an impact on the game and can dictate the game a little bit, and where we saw it against Arsenal quite a bit, where it was imposing fear, and just like
you, nobody saw, pockets Cavani,
not at all. And he's such a fun player to watch dribble. I mean, there aren't too many players you can sort of
when
say
he does that thing where like he just bends his head down a little bit and he has that like very light touch on the ball. No one knows what's coming next. And the worst, I feel worse for the defender because you're like, he can go this way, he can go that way, he can also go through me.
He doesn't necessarily look like sometimes
it's not techie.
It's not exactly
techie. It is techie, but it's not. There's no ballet to it.
He's a hezzy king.
Yes.
There's something.
He makes you move.
When I move, you move, right? Just like that, right?
Damn. Okay. Kids know what we're talking about, right? Is that popular on TikTok? We're both 22. We just look like folks.
So, and they're just, it's so, the subtlety to his game is so artful and beautiful. And because he's not running like crazy. He's not doing.
He's not like a flamenco dancer either.
Right, right.
There's a little bit more workman to what he does. Stiff hips.
The low socks. It's a little, it's like Kvaratskhelia is the player Jack Grealish wishes he was. You know what I mean? Like there's a little, you can see the similar styles or whatever, but it's just, he is so impactful. So if Kvaratskhelia can get to a point where he is getting a lot of possession, Dumfries in a position or maybe there's overlaps, maybe there's switches and they have to mark him and he's familiar with Inter. Kvaratskhelia has an opportunity. He's already won the Scudetto.
Yeah.
Because he played for Napoli.
He played for Napoli.
And
so he's getting a ring. He won Ligue 1.
Uh-huh. And he can do a personal treble.
That's crazy.
In two different countries.
Did they win the Coupe de France?
They did.
Yeah. Yo.
My man.
This new trophy closet. Goated, bro.
It's all his trophies are in different languages, yeah, bro. This is, bro. It's, but that is surreal. So that is, it says a lot about why they brought him in, why Napoli sold him, because he was just they couldn't afford him realistically.
Yeah, seriously.
And
but also get money for him.
Yeah. So if he if he can have an impact like that on the game, I don't see how Inter can you know.
I agree with you. I'm gonna take
victorious.
I'm gonna take a step back though, and I'm gonna say Vitinha. If Vitinha's pulling strings, PSG's gonna win. Vitinha offers so much. If he is in control of the matchup, he could be a bit more of a metronome than oftentimes we see. Like if the game gets into a crazy state, PSG can still handle that, where they're sending, you know, they're sending long balls down the flanks, letting their runners run, fine. But if they can control the ball in the midfield, which is incredibly difficult to do against Inter, but if Vitinha and Neves are just pulling those strings, Vitinha in particular, because it offers up a lot more for Neves, but if Vitinha is on his A game and he's doing that and he's just starting to take control of the match, it's going to be really difficult for Inter to try to get an opportunity to win this game. And I think that's what's going to offer a PSG a lot more opportunity to win.
I do think PSG is going to win the midfield battle. Their midfielders are fantastic.
Absolutely.
But I still think Inter, on counters, on set pieces,
for sure,
what they've done throughout this Champions League season. So that's where I think they're going to get beat in the midfield, even though there's going to be five players there.
But what I'm saying is that's different. Holding possession is different than, you know, controlling the game.
Sure.
If you're pulling strings, and that's the important part, if you're pulling strings, that means you are really starting to get players in good positions, find these passes, breaking lines. If Vitinha can do that, a PSG have a much higher probability of winning.
All right, so best of luck to both, but let's we got to give our predictions. Who you think is gonna win and what you think the score is gonna be?
PSG 3-1.
Okay. All right, this will be an entertaining game. I don't think they're going to dominate that much.
I think the reason I say that is because when they get going, they really get going. When they score in bunches.
Be very surprised if Inter give up three goals.
As will I, but that's my prediction.
I think this game is a toss-up. It's really difficult to pick. I think they're both not necessarily evenly matched in every asset, but like the where one team is strong, the other team is weak, and vice versa in other parts. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think it's going to be 3-2 Inter, but I think this goes to extra time.
I mean, you picked one more goal than I did.
But I'm saying, I think it's going to be a bit of the hectic series with Barcelona. I think it's going to be a wild game. So, but I think Inter can do it.
Could you imagine PSG winning year after getting rid of the year they get rid of Mbappe?
It would be hilarious.
this would be a major knock on Mbappe. No?
Without a doubt. It says something to how Luis Enrique has adapted the team after Mbappe
and this
leaving.
Started last season when he was. Remember, he was like taking him out of games in the 28th minute. He's like, "Go sit with your family."
Yeah,
bro.
It says something about Mbappe is good, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you win because of him, right? So,
but football is a team sport. Right?
Yeah. It's a difficult, because there's no team in the world that's saying no to Mbappe, but it doesn't always Real Madrid. Like
of all the superstars, he was the French one. You know what I mean? He was the one.
Parisian.
Macron didn't meet with Neymar. Macron didn't meet with, Messi. He met with Mbappe to try to convince him to stay.
Damn. Well, Macron needs to meet with his wife
and
therapist.
No,
and
actually, maybe his wife should have shoved Mbappe in the face. They were joking. What are you talking about? We're playing games. My wife slaps me in the face and tells me I'm not allowed to have back in the house. And I get shy in front of cameras.
Honey, what?
You don't joke with your shorty.
Am I being punked?
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll give our perspectives on the Premier League season and how every team did.
Ooh, all 20. Hey, welcome back to the show. Premier League season is done. Now we can sort of talk about where everyone sort of left off, but really looking forward to the future, right? What do we think of this season? What do we think about what's coming up? So we were tasked with coming up with like a small 2 to 3, 4 word phrase or 1 word phrase for each team based on how we feel about the season and what's coming up next.
Sure.
So why don't we start at the top? So unfortunately, this isn't Arsenal, but it's Liverpool.
Right.
So why don't we start with Liverpool? What are your thoughts?
Good, not great. I think the losing, winning the, you know, the Premier League title is fantastic. Liverpool fans are would be obviously very, very excited about it. But the losing Champions League, losing the League Cup, losing FA Cup, not being in those competitions, I think would be the difference between a historic type of team and historic type of season. So this is a very good Liverpool team. But I think they underachieved a little bit by their standards.
I mean, I guess I hear where you're coming from, but also their standards were readjusted this season from where they were last. I don't think anyone expected Arne Slot to come in and win the league as easily as they did, because really no one was in contention for it past, what, the fifth week? So for me, I'm going to go with the beginning of a dynasty. I have a feeling, in particular because they finished the season winning the trophy and they've got to work right away, signing big names, Jeremy Frimpong, already in the books. They're tied to so many other big names. They're not sitting back and resting on their laurels. And I'm saying this from the perspective of an Arsenal fan, which is yet to sign a striker, that is still being linked to multiple strikers. It seems like it takes a full summer for them to do their business. Where you look at Liverpool, one that brought in a manager that won the league right away in his first year, and this is not, I'm not trying to Thierry Henry here. I'm not talking smack about Arteta or the plan. I'm simply saying I understand that Arne Slot walked into a bit of a different situation than Arteta did, but Arne Slot walked in, immediately won the league, and the board is already saying, like, all right, how do we do better next season? They're taking the same sort of thought that you did, which is like, all right, that was good, but that's not enough. Where I see other teams saying, like, you know, we got a 5-year plan, 6-year plan. They're like, we're going to keep winning. We're going to keep doing what it takes to win. And they're really putting themselves in the position that maybe Manchester City thought they would be in at this point. Where maybe they were a few years ago where they won the league and they said, all right, we're just going to keep getting better and better. We're going to sign all the best players. So as far as I'm concerned, it's the beginning of a dynasty. And it hurts me to say that.
Okay, it hurts me to hear it. So next up, Arsenal. All right, where...
you want to go first?
I'll go first. I'm going to just say bad luck. Mm. I think this the team was good enough to win the league. The injury to Martin Odegaard, the injury to Gabriel Magalhaes, just the injuries that they've had throughout the season, the red cards that they picked up, which is maybe not always necessarily luck, just kind of poor decisions of kicking the ball away. That's where they lost the points that could have kept them close in this title race. So they just got unlucky. But I would expect a lot more and a lot more, a closer of a challenge for the title next season.
With the right depth, then maybe you don't need that extra luck you're talking about. I think if you say to an Arsenal fan, I'm going to say falling behind. And the reason why I'm saying falling behind is I think if you tell an Arsenal fan before this season began, hey, the winner's not going to score 90 points. Manchester City is going to collapse midseason, barely make their way back to third. And the three relegated teams will have almost no points together.
Right.
You'd say to yourself, well, then that lines up perfectly for Arsenal to be the team that wins. And look at them. They finished second again. And they're not getting the signings done in an orderly fashion. I know they just brought in a new sporting director, so that delays things. But they need to get stuff done quickly. Like my wife sometimes says, like, hey, I know you said you'd do it, but like, show me, do one of those things. You know what I mean? I'm saying the same thing to this board. Do one of the things that we that we as fans need to see. So I'm saying, unfortunately, even if they go out and sign a big striker, it still feels like we're falling behind. We're slipping behind the pack.
I hear what you're saying. You're saying D needs to be the sporting director for Arsenal to get things done quickly.
I gotta be honest. If she did one, there'd be a lot more crystals. But two, I feel like people would be in the ship shape.
All right.
Why don't we go Manchester City?
Manchester City. For me, this is the year we figured out they were not infallible. Mm-hmm. Obviously, winning, what, 4 Premier League titles in 5 years or whatever? Or four in a row? They did 4 in a row. 3 in a row.
6 out of 7.
It's unbelievable.
They did 4 in a row. They were going for 5.
Yes. So this, we're seeing some cracks. We're seeing them, you know, the injury to Rodri that completely changed their season. The Erling Haaland not being just an alien, yeah. And just doing things and getting numbers that we didn't think were capable. So you're seeing, like, yeah, Pep Guardiola is not infallible, doesn't have every tactic figured out. He still has to find decent players to implement the way he wants to play. And I think we're just starting to see a little bit of the shine of Man City and what it sort of...
That they're human.
They're human, yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, so that's what we learned, I think.
I like it. I'm going to go with blip. This feels like a blip on the radar. And the reason being is like Pep is still Pep. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And yo, they got the money to go out and get new players. Yo, Jeremy Doku.
And he got his wife back.
He got, well, not yet. Not fully, right?
He seems like he's sorted it out.
That's what it is. As soon as he stopped getting, you know what I mean? Yeah, as soon as he stopped getting... Then all of a sudden the team falls apart.
Right.
You got to get regular. Anyway, I'm going to go with blip because I feel like they've got the money and they've got the know-how. They've got 55 teams across the world.
Right.
I feel like they have all the pieces in place to get themselves back to the top. I don't think this begins any type of collapse. I think it's just going to get harder and harder to get in the top four in this league or top five if they keep this up.
Sure.
For Chelsea, who finished fourth. Which I don't think a lot of us would have said.
Yeah.
I'll go first on this one. I'm going to say Boley was right.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. The American owner had it all figured out. He's like, right? Hey, listen to me. I know what I'm doing.
Salute this man, bro. I think Todd Boehly was right in the end, right? Signing the players they signed. I mean, going out and figuring out a way to spend money on these types of players, but also going out and getting Enzo Maresca. Proved to be correct. I made a bet with Nigel Riacocher at the beginning of the season when, you know, Chelsea had lost like every preseason game and they looked terrible and they weren't winning. I said they're going to end the season with more points than they finished the previous season. And they did by 6 points, which I know is not a lot, but still I won $50. Sure. Shouts to Nigel Riacocher. I'm going to have a lot of fun spending your money. But to me, I think Boehly was right. I think you need to give him time. Clearly, he tried to meddle in the business and realized this ain't baseball. I don't really know what I'm doing here. He went out and got the right people. He went out and lost weight. He's looking good. He's not spending his time sitting there stressed.
Yeah, okay, I haven't seen a recent photo of Todd Boehly.
Can look a snatch, bro. Okay. What I'm saying is he figured out, okay, I can't be as influential as I thought I could be. I need to bring in the right people. And they seem to be back in the right path. They're spending too much money. I don't know how they're avoiding PSR. I don't know any of those things. I'm not here to manage their books. But as far as a football club, they just won. They won their only trophy they hadn't won in all of football,
yeah,
which is the conference league. They've won everything else. They've done everything they can. And this seems to be going in the right direction. Todd Boehly was right.
Yeah, for me, I would say they overachieved. I think
I can see that as well.
We were talking about them winning the league early in the season. Mm-hmm. And so nobody really expected that. But for them to get into Champions League, obviously win the Europa Conference League, there's just a, like, whatever they got out of this was like, like the fact that they got this is spectacular. But the season started with Maresca talking about, you know, having all these players and
remember they had like 55 players or something on their roster.
And the fact that they made it work out of and get to this point, I think they have a very bright future going ahead. But I think they overachieved. Right. Next up, Newcastle.
In the fifth and last Champions League position.
For me, I think it's a step in the right direction. Winning Carabao Cup. Tremendous, and gave their fans something to be excited about. They got, you know, my Everton defeated them at St. James Park in the final game of the season, and it was they were out of Champions League for like something like 20 minutes,
mm-hmm,
of that game. And then, you know, the next team we'll talk about, Villa, but it's a step in the right direction. I think they wanted it to be a little bit better, mm-hmm, but another Champions League season says, hey, we're going to be able to sign to really, really high quality players. So I think they're definitely doing everything right now.
I agree with you. My phrase is improvement, because that's what you needed, right? You needed to show you were a Champions League team in order to get that next crop of players. You can't just go out and have the, you know, everyone's like, they got the signing and they can buy whoever they want. Well, players still want to play in Champions League. So getting back into Champions League, and I think Eddie Howe proving he's the right guy to do that, because there was moments during the season where it looked like he was on the outs. It looked like the team wanted to go in a different direction. He seemingly has proven he's the right guy to take them into Champions League. Can they perform in Champions League? I don't know. But you have to say that this season was an improvement over last, because they were able to do something that helps them keep Isak. That's it.
Yeah, that's
if they miss out on Champions League, they lose Isak and it's over. It's a wrap.
100%. Next up, Aston Villa. For me, a disappointing collapse. I don't want to boil the season down to that one game.
You're doing it though.
But it is so, they were just so, if they played Manchester United,
yeah,
it was basically, here's three
That's
points.
That's a freebie, yeah.
Here's 3 points. And Emi Martinez, who looks like he might not even be at Villa next season, gets the most ridiculous red card. It's so obvious. And for a player like him, he should not be putting himself in a position like that. So just a sad collapse to what could have been an exciting next season. And you even saw Unai Emery screaming at the refs after the game about the controversial call with Morgan Rogers knocking the ball out of the goal. It's a whole thing, but why get the red card?
That's, you should be in a position where those like thin margins ruin your season.
And there's previous games that they should have been better at, but it's they had a lifeline in the fact that they got to play Manchester United, who are completely in the mud.
It's crazy. This is a team that at one point was what, top of the rankings for Champions League, top of the league?
Villa?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. I'm going to go with back the manager. Unai Emery has proven that he has the skills, right? This guy proved it with Europa League, with Sevilla for years. He's proven that he's the right guy to take a team like this to that next level. You got to back him. You're talking about Emi Martinez leaving. There's other players, but Morgan Rogers may be sold for a lot of money. There may be some movement here. Back this manager. If you are the Aston Villa board, back him, trust him, go get the players he wants. He will get you to that next promised land. I have a feeling he's the right guy. Give him time. You know, Villa Park is a tough place to play. It's a tough place to try to go win. Yeah, they slipped up a little bit in this season, but I think this is the guy you're going to be your manager for the next few years.
Well, and now that Villa are in the Europa League, guarantee win, right?
All right. This is at least you get in the final.
Just give him the trophy right
now. This is this man's thing, bro.
All right, Nottingham Forest. You go first.
I'm going to say thank Nuno because he's probably out, right? Because he's having a little bit of an argument with Evangelinos. Again, future me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling.
Future you, like 3 years.
Okay. All right. All right. In dog years. Mad disrespectful. Also, if in 3 years I'm in a yacht yelling at the manager of the football team I own, I think I'm pretty happy with it. Right. Also, I still got my hair, thank God. I'm not going to have that hairline. But imagine I do in 3 years. I'm going to blame you. You cursed me. I'm going to say you got to thank Nuno. Nuno is the only reason
totally
that they are where they are. Chris Wood, who knew? You go up and down the line of this entire lineup. I had no idea this team that was fighting for relegation 12 months ago or saved from relegation 12 months ago would be the team that is getting into any European competition. Yeah. So just the fact that they got into a continental tournament is a massive win for this team. Yes, everyone's like, oh, but they could have been the Champions League. Well, so was Villa and Chelsea almost was out of it.
Man City were in your way. Yeah.
So what? You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I think Nuno Espirito Santo is the reason you're here. Hopefully you guys can correct course and you can keep him.
Yeah.
But this guy deserves all the credit in the world because what he was able to do with this team, wow.
Right, yeah. For me, it's just they're not even supposed to be here. They're not even supposed to be in Europa
Conference.
No, you don't
even go to this school, dog.
So anything you get, yes, it sucks because you were so close and destiny was in your hands in the previous like three matches. And they just couldn't get it done. But they got into European.
I know Nottingham Forest won like the European Cup like in the 50s or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah. But if they win conference, this should be a huge celebration.
Yeah, it would be tremendous. So, all right. Next up, Brighton. For me, good business, mediocre football. Yeah. They seem like the team that people just pluck players out of. They make good money in selling their the players that are former Brighton players are thriving in the Premier League. They're doing great. But it's something where from the year that they got promoted and they've done well. If this was like a Forbes podcast and we're talking about football clubs and how they do their business, Brighton, number
we're doing
one.
This.
They're doing amazing stuff. But how much do I want to be excited about this team? What are the ambitions of like getting into European competitions or even winning the league as a whole? I don't really sense that. So all right, cool.
Yeah. All okay. Right. I see that. For me, I'm going to say they are an overachieving academy. At some point, you have to decide whether you're the team that sells everyone their best players or you really want to win something. Sure. And I get that Brighton is sustainable and it's a smart business approach. And I agree with you. If we were talking straight money, if we was looking at spreadsheets all day, this team is a model, right? But you've got Mitoma now saying he wants to go to Bayern. Every time a player, you know, lifts their head up above the crop on Brighton, they go somewhere else. At some point, you have to figure out a way to keep some of these players in-house and try to win something, get in a major competition for your fan base.
I did a stand-up show the other day, and there was a British guy there, and he was from Brighton. And I told him I was an Everton fan. And then I said, I'm an Everton fan. And he goes, oh, yeah, I see that. I get that. And I'm like, why do you get that? He goes, it looks like you love pain and suffering.
Hilarious.
I'm
like, all right, well, you are a comedian.
I'm a comedian, yeah. So
by the way, got you dead to rights. Yeah, yeah.
You know me so well.
Damn. Let's go Bournemouth. I'll go first. For me, similar to what I said with Nottingham Forest. But here I'm going to say trust Iraola, not thank Iraola, because he ain't going nowhere, bro. Mm. I know that they missed out on getting into some sort of continental competition. But at the end of the day, he's got this team moving in the right direction. Bit of a slip up towards the end of the season, but no one thought they'd be here 2 years ago.
Right, right.
So as far as I'm concerned, great manager to have. Everything seems good. The owner's building a new stadium, supposedly. Right. You've got a new logo, right? The cherries thing. If you're a Bournemouth fan, the future's looking bright.
Yeah, so I sort of feel about Bournemouth kind of similar to Brighton, but I think Bournemouth are in a place where now they're similar to Brighton, where they're like, it feels like a place where players can go and actually develop. So this is why my thought is to have higher expectations. I think the last 10 matches of the season were pretty disappointing when they were fighting for like a Europa spot or something. Mm-hmm. And nobody really would have thought that of Bournemouth. But the players that they have, obviously bringing in Tyler Adams, he missed a lot of the year as well. But it seems like a team where where they finish, eighth or ninth?
Yeah.
Ninth. It feels like this could be a team that could be fighting for Europe. So
I agree.
All right.
Let's move on to 10th. Brentford, what do you got?
Decent. I'm like, it's not too much I can say. They're just
okay.
They're just fine. Yeah, they're there.
Hey, I don't know what to say. Your mind's meh.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, you did something. I don't know what you did. I love the small ball. I love the sabermetrics. I love the money ball aspect of it. I love the fact that they got rid of their academy and they're just using a B team and they're saving a bunch of money that way and they're trying to build players up that way and they're trying to make those like XG purchases. I love all of that, but at some point it kind of has to work.
Sure.
And it hasn't really worked. Like, Brentford needs to get into Champions League or Europa in order for me to be like, yes, it's working. Maybe it's time for the Thomas Frank, experiment to end. I don't know. Move on. Something needs to change. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
They're shocked to be here, right? 5 years ago, nobody was talking, maybe 10 years ago, nobody was talking about Brentford.
Right.
They were the team that beat Arsenal in a Carabao Cup or something like that, or the FA Cup. Everybody went crazy. Now, I feel like you've been here long enough where I kind of need to see you. So, you're not the team that's just surviving in the Premier League. Do something.
Bring back Ivan Toney. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, all right. next up, Fulham. For me, just very, very disappointing. I think the team is better than the place that they are in. Obviously having Anthony Robinson, who was the best left back in the Premier League, I think should have gotten them. It's like they underutilized, but like they didn't take advantage of like even just the quality players that they have. And it feels like they need to make some upgrades. Is Raul Jimenez the guy you're going to keep for a while? Like, he's a bit older.
He's back, but is he?
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, he's no spring chicken either.
I just expected more out of them this season. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with do better. You're a team. I mean, you're probably going to sell Anthony Robinson probably for a good amount. Can you use that money to build up a smarter squad? You lost Tim Ream, who was a stalwart, another American, mm-hmm. right? You're probably going to lose Anthony Robinson at the end of the season. What can you bring in to make you a better team? Because right now, Fulham just seems like one of those teams that is yo-yoing between the top and the bottom half of the table.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not seeing that big, big progress out of you. And it feels like something needs to change in order to get that progress. So do better.
Sure.
Who do we have after that? We've got Crystal Palace.
I mean, just
what a season for that.
Historic. I mean, yeah.
Are we applauding any other 12th place team?
Yeah, they didn't do fantastic in the Premier League. But, for a team like Crystal Palace that wasn't necessarily worried about relegation and winning FA Cup against Manchester City. Yeah, controversy and blah, blah, blah. It is a fantastic season, and this is going to be a team where how much does the team next season look like the team from this season?
Exactly. Which leads me to my point. Now what? That's my whole thing. Like, now what? What are you going to do now?
Yeah.
You just had one of the greatest moments for your fan base. I think back to Rebecca Lowe saying on camera, like, do you allow yourself to dream? Is it the time to now start dreaming? And it happened. It worked. Mm-hmm. You won. Ollie Glasner brought you a title. Mateta looks like an amazing player. Eze doing what he does. You brought a title to this trophy to this team that hasn't had one in forever. Mm-hmm. So now what do you do? Do you take this moment and say, this is who we are now? Or you regress back to the Crystal Palace of old that was kind of teetering on being a bottom table team? I think Ollie Glasner seemingly seems like the right guy. He brought you a title, so at the very least, he should get a statue. But what do you do now? I don't know where this team goes. If you tell me they're relegated next season, or if you tell me they're in Champions League, I won't be surprised.
Right. They're going to be in Europa, so that's going to be...
Because of that, yeah.
Because it's going to be exciting for them. And I just want to mention, Eberechi Eze is like probably one of my favorite players to watch. He is
so wicked.
A great, great person and a great player. So
let me, for this next one, I want to go first, because... You're the fan of Everton. So I'm going to go, finally, we have a season where we're not worried that the last game that you are going to go drop down. Uh-huh. You're getting your new stadium. Things seem to be heading in the right direction. When the Premier League started, six teams broke off. The six biggest clubs broke off from the top flight to start the Premier League. Everton was one of those teams. Mm. They would not be one of those teams today if the Super League were to start. They would not be one of the teams that were asked to break off. If something else, they would not be considered one of the biggest clubs. Can you get back to those years of previous glory? You and I had the luxury of being at Goodison Park and getting like a real private tour. And there is a history there that if you were an Everton fan of the last 5 years or 6 years, you would not even know existed. You would not even know those vibes. Those fans at Gladys Street End deserve something bigger and better. May this stadium and this a bit more relaxed finish to a season be the beginning of an ushering of a new season. And also, finally, you got rid of Dyche and you got rid of that boring Brexit ball.
Okay. Thank you. That was very sweet, Alexis. That was like a little poem.
I try to be the opposite of what you would do, you know?
For
me, just call me Evangelinos Maranaka in 3 years.
For me, it's just the stability, the fact that they've stabilized this team. And I'll be 100% honest. The fact that Everton were not in a relegation battle this season made me a little less excited about watching games. I'll be 100% because there's no realistic chance for like a Champions League spot. And
you are such a toxic boyfriend. 100%. Wow, dude, you're like, yo, either argue with me or hug up on me. Don't just walk.
It doesn't
past
make me love the club any less. I'm just saying. I mean, the stakes were not there. Even though it says stake.com right on the chest. But the stakes weren't there for the game. So the fact that I appreciate the stability, and this is how, you know, when people are in like calm, stable relationships where they don't argue, that there are people that are like, oh my god, man, I'm really in love.
Yeah, they're called Puerto Rican women. Yo, you don't love me if you ain't yelling at me, if we ain't arguing.
So yeah, but no,
this is ridiculous.
I'm excited.
Shouts to all the Boricua chicks out there. I'm only joking around.
I'm excited about the future. Obviously, the new stadium and everything, and more than that, I'm excited that they are not tearing down Goodison Park. They're going to be the Everton women's team are going to be playing there going forward. So that's, I think, a cool detail as well about the history of that stadium.
I didn't know that. That's continue. Actually really dope.
Yeah,
because we went to go see the Everton ladies, and they were like off somewhere.
Exactly. All right. Next up, West Ham.
All right, I'm going to go not massive enough.
Damn, bro. Size matter, bro?
I'm sorry. I'm a bit of a size queen right now, dog. Yo, if you ain't arguing with me, do you even love me? Now let me see that hog. Craziest thing I've ever said on the show. I think if you want to claim that you are massive, West Ham is massive, West Ham is massive, you got to do better than this. Everybody wanted to get rid of, what's my guy's name?
David Moyes.
Everybody wanted to get rid of David Moyes. Everybody was like, yo, we need to do better. We need to do better. This isn't what you signed up for.
Yeah.
This ain't it, bro. Like, yo, you've got this amazing fan base. You've got this storied history, but you got to do better than this. This is crazy.
Yeah. My description would be disarray. I think they thought that Graham Potter would kind of like fix things up and change and just a different direction, and maybe it's like a couple transfer windows, but it's surreal that David Moyes leaving, going to Everton, did what West Ham fans would have wanted him to do there, yeah. and it just didn't happen. So it, maybe it's not either manager's fault. I don't know. Maybe it's the players. Maybe it's
it could be a team in transition.
Maybe it's Paquetá worried about getting yellow cards. I don't know what it is. So
trying to get yellow cards so his uncle gets a new car. Who knows?
All right,
Manchester United. Do you think we'd say that name this far down the list? Go ahead.
Embarrassing. I mean, there's really no other word. Humiliating. Just. We've talked about it all season, and there's not much more to be said. Everybody has to take a long look in the mirror. Maybe Alejandro Garnacho is going to be looking at a mirror in a different city, it seems Ooh. Like. But yeah, it's been just a humiliating season for them, for the players, for the fans, and everybody.
And now they're flipping the bird at Malaysian fans. Have you seen that?
Not
it's
great.
Crazy. Do you know what 476 AD is?
I mean, the best time in history. No, I don't.
Do you know what that year is?
I don't know.
That year is the year. This is what I'm going to say for Manchester United. That's the year that is credited with the beginning of the fall of the Roman Empire.
Ah, yes. The Roman Empire. Always on everyone's, every right, man's
we're
mind.
We're all thinking about it.
I think about it once a day.
476 was the year the Roman Empire started to collapse. And that, I think, is what we saw this year. Yeah. Manchester United bringing in, everybody was blaming the American owners. They bring in the British owner. And this guy starts firing everybody. Starts getting rid of the soul of the club. And some of the fans are backing him for it. Some of the fans are happy with it. The stadium is falling apart. The team is in absolute disarray. The new manager thought about leaving weeks into the job because of how difficult it is. Players are on the outs. I'm not specifically saying this can't be fixed, but this is an overwhelming list of things to fix to get Manchester United back to where they were. Manchester United finished how many points away from relegation, or how many positions outside of relegation? This is insane. Yeah. This is not something that we've ever seen.
Two.
In our history. This is not something I've ever
three,
seen.
Three, yeah.
This is wild, and I don't think it gets corrected quickly. This is going to be a long, difficult road for Manchester United fans.
Yeah. Sell Bruno to Saudi Arabia and start from there.
That's a good way to start.
Wolves. Wolves, because I think they're going to... obviously, the news about Matheus Cunha, I think we should be expecting relegation next season. And that hurts to say. RIP Daryl Grove and his team.
Hello and welcome, bro.
Yeah.
Hello and goodbye.
But I think this team is going to have a very difficult time staying in the Premier League.
I'm going to say same points as United. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad season.
For them, right? Yeah.
If I told you have the same points as United, I think every Wolves fan would sign up for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Not realizing you'd end up in this position.
Yeah, you'll start thinking about playing Real Madrid
next
season.
Like, damn, bro. I got to get a new fit for the league phase. I gotta read up on it. How is it different than the group stage? Nah, son, you ain't got to read about none of that. I think, yes, this is a bad season. I think Wolves are going to do what Wolves do, which is probably find some championship players that didn't get promoted into the Premier League and get some good players, bring up some players that can help keep them in the Premier League. I could also see them getting relegated. I don't think it gets better from here, but hey, if you played on this team this year, you could say, hey, that year we got the same points as United, bro.
All right. Next up, Tottenham. For me?
Yeah.
I mean, definitely winning Europa League is them papering over the cracks. You don't got to pay attention to any issue that they had. Ange, big Ange, got it done. I think a lot of people can just ignore the season that they had, but I have no reason to think it is not going to be a nightmare of a season next season, even in Champions League. I don't see them getting out of the league phase to the knockouts. So if they can actually fix the foundation that they have with this squad and everything, then I think there's a lot of hope. Maybe winning a trophy is the thing that they needed to uplift and bring some confidence. But I think that's what this season meant. Just hide all the issues that you had because you got to lift the trophy at the end of the season.
A lot of lumps under that rug, huh? I'm going to go with how. How do you fire Ange?
Right.
And how do you keep him? You finish, literally one spot out of relegation. One of the worst seasons in the league, but you win a trophy after a long-ass drought. He brings you that glory. He promised you he'd win you a trophy after two seasons, and he does it. But the team doesn't look like it's in a position to repeat that. The team doesn't look like they're in a position to be much, much better than they were this season. I just don't know how you make a decision if you're Daniel Levy. How do you fire this guy or how do you keep him? There's a good excuse for both. So what are you going to do this summer? I don't know. I don't know what this team is.
Neither do I. All right. The next three are going to be the teams that are promoted into the Premier League for next season. So Leeds. who won the championship. Mm-hmm. My first thought, que lo que, Junior Firpo returning to the Premier League, but this time as a Dominican international, not a Spanish international. So we got a full-on Dominicano playing in the Premier League. I'm so excited for, obviously, Dominican Republic in the Gold Cup as well. This is, for me, outside of also Brendan Emerson coming back to Premier
League. Yeah, that's kind of cool too.
That's kind of cool too. Oh, yeah. But no, everybody, all my homies are talking about Junior Firpo coming back.
The vibes are great. I don't want to ruin it, but I'm going to say they are better than Wolves.
You think already? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they're going to stay up. I think Leeds are going to, I like Leeds being in the Premier League. I'm not a Leeds fan, but there's something about that in their history that I like the fact that they finally got re-promoted. They got promoted back into the Premier League, I should say. I feel like they should stick around. So hopefully they walk in, Junior Firpo helps them out. If not, sign two or three other Dominicans.
We'll see. Also the Jack Harrison. Announced that he's leaving Everton and he's going back to his parent club, which is Leeds. I wonder if Leeds keep him now that they're back in the Premier League. It's
interesting. Nice to have Jack Harrison in the Premier League.
Okay, next up, Burnley. All right.
I'm going to go with, they are the Teemu Wrexham.
Wow.
Yeah, Doug. everybody, the vibes are high for Wrexham. Even though the Burnley's getting promoted into the Premier League and Wrexham is getting into the championship, there's something about Burnley where I'm just still not that excited.
Well, yeah, I watched a couple of the Burnley matches in the championship. They're really good.
They're fun.
A very good championship team. I hate watching them in the Premier League.
I don't know why.
For me, they are Everton's second team.
You plucked. This is your farm.
This is, I want to see. I'm going to be scouting some of these Burnley players.
This is your garden right here. You're like, let me go. I want to make a salad. Let me go get some cucumbers,
This guy will be good in the midfield. Yeah. Wearing a blue shirt,
right?
This is a team where I don't think they stay up, but you know, I think again with the storyline, JJ Watt and the American ownership and stuff like that, Kaylee Watt, everybody, it'd be nice if they did, but it's obviously the gap is pretty incredible.
Also, I just want to say,
don't nobody want to go to Burnley, bro.
All right, damn, just. Barely catching strays always. All right. Last team, Sunderland.
I'm going to say yo-yo. They're going to go back down.
How do Argentinians say yo-yo?
Jojo?
Shosho.
Shosho? I'm glad we did that.
There was some TikTok I saw recently.
Oh, okay.
Very funny.
Man, anyway. TikTok is rotting your brain. this kid's telling me about Italian brain rot. I think they're going to go back down. This is a cool story. Winning the playoff is a huge deal. I think it toughens you up. I'm really happy for them. Shouts to Sheffield United, who also made it far. But I think this is it for Sunderland. They're going to go up. They're going to get a little bit of the money and then get that parachute money.
And, okay. I think because of, watching Sunderland Till I Die, which especially when you talk about Wrexham.
That's why they got Wrexham.
Okay, exactly, right.
Yeah.
So that for me, it definitely created a soft spot for Sunderland. I'm like, I want them to do well. And more than anything.
Damn. Point to the soft spot.
Right here, officer. Anyway.
Point on the goal with the soft spot.
But Joe Bellingham is a player I'm excited to see. And seeing him in the Premier League, I think it will be exciting. I hope they do well. Do I expect them to stay up? No, but we shall see. All right. Let's wrap it up there. I just want to say this before we wrap up. In Liverpool, the Liverpool supporters, obviously they had their parade.
Yeah, these were unfortunate scenes.
And this was absolutely horrific. Somebody drove a car into
a Liverpool fan apparently was trying to back up. I don't know if this is the true story. I heard he was trying to back up and people were kind of,
I have no idea,
like telling him like, don't back up. And I guess he got frustrated or scared and just plowed through people,
which is, I mean, it's inexplicable and insane. I hope you don't watch it. I mean, I did see it. It was sent to me.
It's horrific.
It's horrific seeing anything like that. And it's just obviously on such a important day for not only the club but the fans to celebrate their title and to have to experience something like that.
You shouldn't get injured going to a parade.
It's just, I mean, it's so sad, and it's just something that you obviously don't want ever to happen anywhere, and then let alone like involved in the sport in any way, because obviously the sport itself brings so much positivity and joy to so many people. So,
parade is a wonderful moment for all of the hard work that the players did for the season, all the blood, sweat, and tears, and joy, and everything else that you put in to help that team get across that line. It shouldn't have to go that way. So right. I feel bad, and condolences. I don't think there were any deaths. Luckily.
Yeah, I don't know the specifics.
I think there was 27 injured. That was the last number I heard.
Okay.
Hopefully they're not life-threatening injuries and everyone can get back on their feet, because that's horrific.
Yeah, so just sending our thoughts to everybody affected and stuff like that. And you just hate to see that, especially. And we've been to Liverpool, and whether people are Everton fans or Liverpool fans, always showed a lot of love and a lot of respect and stuff like that. So
good banter.
Horrible thing to see. So yeah, just wanted to mention that on the show. All right, we have one more segment. We'll be right back. We'll talk some MLS right after this. Let's talk some Major League Soccer.
Woo!
We had a huge slate of midweek matches, so there were a couple moments that we have to bring up. Lucho Acosta returns to FC Cincinnati.
And everyone went, right?
Incorrect. Oh. There were a couple of thumbs downs.
Damn.
And there were fans that were not happy to see him back. This is generally not surprising. I'm not shocking anybody by saying that. It's actually more shocking, his comments after the game. It was a great game, ended 3-3. I know Cincinnati probably frustrated that they didn't get end up with the 3 points. But the comments are after the game are what made news, because Lucho Acosta was not happy that he was booed by the fans, which is kind of wild.
What if they were just saying Lucho, like you didn't hear the end of it? You know what I mean?
Right, because it should have been something that, in my mind, like, you know, maybe even motivated him. You know how some people are like, they boo me, I love the boos or whatever.
You know that's part of the game? Yeah. Why are you upset about this?
So after the game, he had some comments. So I just let's play that real quick because I thought they were pretty interesting.
If I need to be like more grateful with me, I think they boo to me, but I don't deserve that. I bring the supporters here and they should be get a... be better, like more grateful. Feel bad because I won the Supporters Shield here. I won the MVP. I bring to this city the MVP, the first MVP for the club, the first trophy for the club, and I think I deserve more than that. The fans need to be like more grateful.
Okay.
I don't think he understands what an MVP trophy is. You know, bring that to the city. It's the most valuable player. That's a self award.
But it's still not
a trophy. Yeah, but it's not a trophy for the team. He's right about the Supporter Shield. If you rate the Supporter Shield.
Right.
I think he's right. He did bring some glory to the club and to the city. That doesn't mean they can't boo you when you're the one who wanted to leave.
Exactly.
Dog.
That's kind of the odd thing here. It's interesting that he expected something different. And then he's also talking about it. It's a little bit like
breaking up with your girl, like tell her, yo, I don't love you no more. And then next week you're like, yo, what are you cooking for dinner? And you're like, you ain't invited, dog.
Why are you here? Stop texting. You know, my mom ain't cool with you.
Yeah, get out the pantry, bro. This ain't your Doritos no more.
And that's why, you know, we saw on Apple TV, on the broadcast, he did it in Spanish. And he was... like, sometimes people could say, like, oh, English is not his first language. Maybe he didn't mean it.
No, he said the same thing.
He said it. 10 toes. My man, fluent. His Duolingo streak is alive and well.
Even the owl was like, yo, slow down, bro.
So the words, like, he was like, they should be more grateful. They should be?
Damn.
Like, why? Why do you want them to be more grateful?
This isn't, they didn't throw things at you. They didn't harm your family. No one kidnapped anybody. They booed you and you're upset about it?
It's part of the game. And again, you go back to the point, he wanted to leave. He didn't leave under like great circumstances. The, you know, we interviewed Pat Noonan at MLS Media Day before the news about him even... That's what's funny. This is why coaches are so great. This is why, I mean, this is how they handle their business. Because we asked about Lucho, like, how great of a player he's at.
It's so great to have him on your team. Right? And he was like,
he was like, yeah, he's a great guy, great player, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like behind the scenes, it's like this dude is trying to force a move, or maybe he wanted more money or whatever. Yeah. And so it is what it is. So fans, he had 2 years left on his deal. Fans obviously wanted him to stay. He's a beloved player. And then he left.
It's your choice.
It's your choice. You
if
could
you
have
asked
just
to leave, you cannot expect them to be like, yay. And also, there's growth here, right? I forget who it was. I think it was like, maybe it was like Nacho Piatti or Valeri. Somebody said, like, I was shocked the first time we came back from road loss and fans were waiting for us and clapped at us as we got
right,
off the bus.
Right, right, right.
He was like, where I'm from, you'd be afraid to get off the bus because they're going to hurl something at you, even if it's just obscenities. You know, they're mad at you for losing. We're here. They're like, thank you for trying.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this shows some growth in the MLS fan.
Sure. Where, yeah, they're not kind of tolerating. They're more plugged in.
Right. It's not just soccer parents, you know, clapping at you saying, you want an apple slice, an orange slice?
And this part of me is just like, there's a little bit of like, who are you, Messi? Like, yeah, what do you mean you're, they should be.
Maybe that's the attitude, though, it takes to be great. To be like, you should be beloved. You should be beloved. You've been carrying me on your shoulders for what I gave you.
Even,
I gave you this MVP that I took home with me.
Messi say something like that? Anywhere he played?
No.
Even, he left PSG in the worst way. Would he be like, they should be more grateful that I was here
and I played?
He said that?
Yeah, remember they booed him when he came back from the World Cup and he was upset about it. So maybe it's just an Argentinian thing.
Maybe it's Argentinian. I don't know. It's just so odd. And it, again, to me, it takes so much attention away from FC Dallas, from the team.
Yeah,
from
it's very self-serving
as
well.
It's just like, why is this about you?
Let's move on to LA Galaxy. We don't have a lot of time left in the show, but they've just broken the record. They've lost 16. they've not won in 16.
Yeah, we gotta put up this tweet.
That's a good one.
San Jose put up. Maybe we'll just put it in post. Don't worry about it. Yeah. But
this is incredible. Since we don't have a lot of time, I want to do this. How long does this streak go? I'm going to name you the next few matches.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the one LA Galaxy is going to win? The next match is against Real Salt Lake at home for LA Galaxy.
Okay.
Do you think they get 3 points out of that?
I do not know.
Okay. Then they go away to Salt Lake, to St. Louis. St. Louis City. Their manager just peaced out.
Yeah.
Just Lucho Acosta.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that it? Is that their goal?
They have to get three points.
They have to get 3 points.
I'm going to say yes.
Yes,
I agree. I think this is the way they
can do it. All right, so if you're an LA Galaxy fan, on the streak ends on June 14th.
So that's where the Cooligans bump goes into effect.
Yeah, it was a delayed bump.
Right? That happens sometimes.
Right? Maybe the IF, the IVF don't hit. You have a delayed bump.
Yeah, this is a, so losing to San Jose, losing to San Diego, it's the match prior. All the same. This is, I mean, we say this all the time. It is so, not only are they losing, which is like, yes, it's almost harder to continue losing the way that they are.
The MLS scriptwriters are really mad at LA Galaxy.
They just,
some of this stuff is like, yo, this is like a Disney movie way of losing.
We're not even going to deviate a little bit from the plan. I want to just give a shout out to San Jose. They did post a Sweet 16 invitation,
yeah,
which highlights the 16 losses that LA Galaxy had. So the banter is
or 16 non-wins,
winless, yeah. Yes. But the idea that they the game against San Diego, and they are tied going into the 90 whatever fifth minute or whatever.
You got this. Locked.
Who's the center back? I forgot his name. Is trying to clear it and clears it. Into the path of the player, and then he assisted. It's a second assist, basically, and it's like, how can this continue to happen? I understand if a team is better than you and they just dominate you and the quality is just something, but the self-inflicted errors are ridiculous. It's like in a
your Spanish accent came out heavy. It's self-inflicted. I was like, yo, this dude really is. Okay. Yeah, sell, bro. Happens to me every once in a while.
It gets out. It's
snuck out there for sure, dude.
But the idea of what's in tennis, a lot of matches are won or lost based on unforced errors, right? Yeah. That's like a stat that they maintain and keep. this is where, like, LA Galaxy, I understand if you get, some teams are just better. You have the injuries and blah, blah, blah. But why are you making
dumb mistakes?
Mistakes that are hurting.
Your less than great team can still win some of these games. 16 right. is a long way to go. Probably not the best time, but we also want to just congratulate Greg Vanney on being on getting their extension, getting his extension, being the highest paid coach
well
in MLS.
Deserved. Yeah.
Probably not the right time to
just
do it.
Just won MLS Cup. I don't know if you know about this.
About but 16 games ago.
The sad thing, and this is another just a disappointing thing with LA Galaxy, there was a huge fight over the weekend.
Yeah,
in
I
the
saw
stands.
The fans were sort of rushing each other.
San Diego and LA. I mean, again, we've seen this too often as with like the California kind of clubs and all this stuff. And I understand the passion for your own team. It's always odd. It'll never not be odd to me when expansion teams get into fights. It's like, yo, you haven't even.
Y'all just got here.
Yeah. Y'all just got here. It's kind of crazy. So, horrific scene. You just don't want to see stuff like that, and nobody supports it. It's not a thing that doesn't make the sport better. It doesn't make the game better. Right. It doesn't make it more exciting. So
we want more passion. We want more excitement. We want more ferocity, but we don't want the violence.
Not at all. It's ridiculous. So, but yeah, just win some. I mean, I'm getting it, but I watch Galaxy games.
You know what
I
they should do? They should get the players to stand in front of the supporters, like in AC Milan. And have the supporters yell at the players.
Well, they've done that. They did that.
I know, but do it again.
Did it? Well, Greg Vanney apologized to the fans after the game against San Jose.
At this point, ChatGPT helping you write the apologies.
Who was the last GM? Chris Klein. Chris Klein. Remember, he did the same thing a couple years ago and went up to the fan. And then they win MLS Cup. And then, you know, and then they go right back to kind of like how they were a couple years before. So, please. LA Galaxy, win a game.
Well, June 14th,
June 14th, it's in the books, everybody.
We're getting 3 points.
All right, let's wrap it up there. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of The Cooligans. A reminder, on Saturday, after the Champions League final, come to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/soccercooligans. We're going to be doing an exciting live match reaction to the games. Stefano Fasaro of CBS and CBS Scoreline. He's going to be joining us. Alexis will be at a wedding. Maybe Alexis will be able to.
I'm going to try.
Drunkenly call in.
Ooh, I'm going to try. I don't know. They haven't really told us when the ceremony itself is. It's like a big loose wedding at a camp for kids, by the way. Like an adult camp.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. By the way, they also
is this a child wedding?
They also do fat camps at this place. So I'm wondering, is this really a wedding or an intervention? I'm a little scared.
All right, now, I'm going to take it back. You are not going to look like Evangelos Mernakis after.
Also, there's a zip line. So who knows if I even come back? I feel like
you're just here for the zip line. You know that?
Yeah, great
Kardashian.
Sketch. Anyway. But yes, I may try to call in. But check this out. Saturday, as soon as the final whistle blows, go straight to youtube.com/soccercooligans.
Be there. We'll be there. It's going to be fun. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. Do all the things.
Let's go. All
right. Tell your mother to watch.
Tell your mother.
You know she's already watching.
Okay. We put her to sleep. Anyway.
Hey. Not the way you think either.
All right. We'll see you on Saturday, everybody. Join us after the Champions League final. Peace.
Love you guys.